Amen. Remain standing, and let's go to the Gospel of Matthew this morning, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11, and I invite you to continue standing with me as you're able as we read God's Word this morning. Taking just a short break from our series in 2 Corinthians, we'll be back there next week. But this morning I want to ask you kind of an odd question. What kind of ears do you have? What kind of ears do you have? Don't get self-conscious this morning or start looking around and judging other people's ears today, but we're talking about spiritually, what kind of ears do you have? There in Matthew 11 and verse number 15, I'm just going to read one verse today, and this is the first time out of many times this phrase occurs in the Bible. And it simply says this, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Would you say that out loud with me one time today? "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would, as we just sang, open our hearts, our eyes, our ears to be attentive to your word today. I pray for the one, as has already been mentioned, who has not yet put their faith in you, that today, God, would be that awesome day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated this morning. We're looking at this question today, what kind of ears do you have? I hope that kind of pulls you in a little bit this morning, and hopefully it'll stick with you for a while, because the Bible actually tells us that people have different kinds of ears. And my hope is that by the end of this message, we'll all learn exactly what kind of ears the Lord wants us to have. We're going to jump right into our outline this morning with number one, the first type, open ears. Open ears. And at first, this may sound like where you want to be. Yeah, open ears, Pastor Nathan. But if you listen carefully this morning, you'll realize this isn't where you want to be. Because just because your ears are open doesn't mean you're listening, right? Here's that funny statement again that Jesus made in Matthew 11, 15. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." That's kind of an odd thing to say. If you have ears, listen up this morning. And it's not the only time Jesus said that. No, he said it again in Matthew 13, and again in Matthew 13, and Mark 4, and again in Mark 4, and Mark 7, and Luke 8, and Luke 14. As a matter of fact, he repeated that phrase 8 times in the Gospels, and then 8 more times in the book of Revelation, it says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, if the Lord went through the trouble of repeating something 16 times in his word, it's probably something that we ought to take notice of. Can you say amen today? The implication is that not everyone has hearing ears. Oh, I mean, they're open, but are they listening? You ever say something to your children and you know that the words are coming out of your mouth, they're going into their ears, but they're not getting a thing that you are saying? There's a difference, right, between having open ears and actually listening. It's one thing to hear a message. It's another thing to understand a message. It's something entirely different to apply that message. And for those who stop short of living it out, we prove we really never heard it in the first place. Now, I don't know how many times I put somebody to sleep while I was preaching, but I've lost count, okay? As a matter of fact, I'm great with kids. If your kids are having trouble sleeping, bring them into the service here, and I will soothe them. I don't know what it is, but I mean, I will bore them to sleep, and I've many times been walking out just to see kid after kid, and sometimes adults passed out, it looks like, and they are getting their Z's in. There's one time where somebody fell asleep, and they were snoring in the service. I'm not joking, snoring in the service. Now, look, if you want to fall asleep, that's fine. You're not bothering anybody, but don't be snoring in the service. If you hear somebody snoring, wake that person up, okay? Now, I'm not talking about those who are asleep today. Now, I'm talking about the people who are wide awake their ears are open, but they're not really hearing anything. Have you ever considered your role as a listener in church? I want you to meditate on that question for a few seconds. Have you ever considered your responsibility as a hearer of God's word? E.M. Bounds wrote this, "Without preparation, the hearer cannot hear to profit. The sermon may fail because the preacher has failed in prayerful and thoughtful preparation, but the sermon may also fail because of the lack of thorough preparation in the pew." So when you come to church, are you prepared to hear? To hear from God's word, when you come to this place, we're not just punching some spiritual time card, right? You ought to expect, you ought to anticipate that the preacher is going to have something to say, that he's going to be prepared when you get here. Look, I literally have nightmares, okay? I'm not joking. What scares me to death? What do I have nightmares about? What do I at times wake up early Sunday morning in a cold sweat over? Is that I envision the service, the final song finishes, it's my time to preach, I get up behind the pulpit, I open up my Bible, and I realize I forgot to prepare my message. And all of a sudden, I forget everything I know about the Bible, and I have nothing to say, and you're just staring at me, and I'm staring at you, and I'm trying to think, like, how can I make it, like, how can I get out of here? I kid you not, I have woken up just frantic because of that. And maybe that's just the way my pastor prepared us, is that you don't step into the pulpit unprepared. I've heard stories of preachers who get up and they're like, well, I didn't really prepare anything today. We're just going to kind of, and I'm like, what? You didn't prepare anything. No, you ought to anticipate that the preacher is prepared to say something when you get here. There were some 300 people last Sunday, probably 300 again this Sunday. And I would hope that every single one of you came expecting that God's word was going to be opened and that there would be something for you personally. And you ought to expect the preacher to be prepared. Should we not also expect those listening to the preacher to be prepared? That your mind would be focused, that our ears would not just be open, but listening? Could it be that we have been so long in hearing from God's word because we have made very little preparation on Sunday and throughout the week to receive his word? My preacher, Pastor Ryan Bevan, was telling a story once of a gentleman who came into his office and he said, "Pastor, I'm just not getting anything out of your messages anymore. I'm just not learning anything. I'm not growing. I'm just not being fed like I used to. I'm just not getting anything anymore." Pastor Ryan asked the man, "Can I ask you something?" You answer honestly. "When is the last time that you personally have prayed for me on a Sunday morning before you came here? When's the last time you were excited to come to church? When's the last time you invited somebody to come along with you? When's the last time you've done any of those things?" And the man kind of hung his head and said, "It's been a while." Are you prepared when you come to hear? Now, at the end of the day, I'm just glad you're here, okay? And to be completely honest, there are times in life where it probably takes everything that we have just to make it to church. You ever have one of those Sundays, all right? Maybe you're having one of those right now, all right? You were on the struggle bus this morning because nobody's clothes were dry and the dog got out and the baby spit up on mama and the kids were fighting and you forgot one of them at home and you thought about leaving them there, you know, and you seriously considered it and they'll be fine for a few hours. And then you came and you got through the door and you were just content. I made it. Amen. All right. And to that, I would say, I'm glad you made it. All right. I'm glad you're here. You know, there are other times where we're just not ready to hear. Our ears are just clogged because the things of this world have so distracted our minds that we can't hear anything God's saying. The words are going in, but we're not listening. So the message falls on deaf ears. Here's what Spurgeon said. We are told men ought to preach or ought not to preach without preparation. Granted. But we add, men ought not to hear without preparation. What do you think needs the most preparation, the sower or the ground? Think about this. I would have the sower come with clean hands. We just sang about that. But I would have the ground well plowed and prepared, well turned over, and the clods broken before the seeds come in. It seems to me there is more preparation needed by the ground than by the sower, more by the hearer than by the preacher. We know that Satan, what does he love to do? He loves to snatch away what is sown before it can take root in the heart, right? Jesus told a parable of that, the parable of the soils. And although that parable primarily is about salvation, the gospel being sowed, taking root, springing up to eternal life, there is great application we can make for the believer, right? How often do we come into God's house and the message lands in our minds, but before we even make it to the car, we're so distracted that Satan comes in and he takes it away before it takes root and before it ever brings fruit. In Luke 9, verse 44, Jesus said this, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears." Not that it would just be surface level, but that you would allow this truth to sink deep. Not just that your ears would be open, but that you would be listening. It's not always that people are unable to understand the sermon. It's that we've at times become lazy listeners. This happens to us as Christians, doesn't it? We just become so used to the process of church that we kind of show up, and maybe when you first got saved, you did a lot more preparing, a lot more thinking about what you would hear and spiritually preparing yourself. But then just as we kind of go along, can we be honest with the Lord this morning? Have you become a lazy listener in church? It can happen pretty easily. Don't become careless in your hearing. Open ears. Here's the second type that we find in Scripture. Itching ears. Itching ears. You say, what are you talking about there, Pastor Nathan? In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, it says this. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's verse number 3. The second type of ears, or kind of ears, that you can have are itching ears. You see, Paul, at the end of his life, was writing to his son in the faith, a man by the name of Timothy, and he commands him, Timothy, preach the word. Never stop preaching the word, because there is a time that is coming when people will not hear it. Instead, they're going to heap to themselves, they're going to pile up teachers that won't proclaim the truth, because the people will have itching ears. What does he mean by that? You ever have like a scratch or like an itch that you just can't reach? And so one of the blessings of kids, you just call your kid over and you're like, hey, take those Wolverine fangs that you got there. And the kid's fingernails are like some of the sharpest objects on the planet, right? And it's like right there, no, to the right, now down some, no, back up, back to the left. And it's like, ah, you got it, you know? It's like you're just itching and you want somebody to scratch that itch. Well, Paul says there will be a time where they, people, will have an itch. Maybe you've heard somebody ask the question, like, what are you itching for? It means kind of like, what do you want? And what are they itching for? Watered down doctrine, shallow truth, milquetoast preaching. Now, I had heard, it's kind of interesting, sometimes like you hear stuff for a while and then you don't really think about where did you even hear something like that. I think I heard a preacher say that one time, milquetoast preaching. I thought, that sounds weak, you know? And then I thought, I don't even know what milquetoast is. And I put it in my message, and I'm like, I better find out what milquetoast is. How many of you have ever eaten milquetoast before? How many, raise your hand up, please. Okay, there were, okay, there's more in this service than there was last service. There's three, there were two in the early service, all right? Milk toast. You say, what is it? It's toast with milk on it, all right? That's about it. And it was popular in the 19th century, especially for children and the sick, because it was believed to be smooth and easy to digest, soothing. I'm afraid that many times folks come to church with their ears itching. What do I mean by that? It means I want you to tell me everything is fine. You're doing great, no expectations, no response needed. Come in one way, leave exactly the same way. It's soothing, it's easy to digest. My toes never get stepped on. Don't tell me what I need to hear, tell me what I want to hear. And outside of my emotions being stirred, there's never any growth. That's the spot. They want a sermon that will gratify themselves instead of glorifying God. Jerry Bridges said, too often today we listen to be entertained instead of instructed, to be moved emotionally rather than moved to obedience. I'm not here to entertain anybody. And honestly, it's never my desire or goal that I would ever have somebody say to me, and I appreciate everybody's heart. Some of you, it doesn't matter how bad of a sermon I preach, you'd be like, preacher, that was the best sermon I've ever heard. Just bless your heart. And you're just so kind. But it's never my desire to ever hear somebody say, great message. I would much rather you say, the Lord spoke to me through his word. And if you come to hear Nathan Woodworth and you come to this church for the wrong reason, there has never been a time where preachers have been so good at saying nothing. You know what I'm saying? They make a lot of noise, but they aren't saying anything. It's smooth. They're smooth. Their shoes are smooth. Their voice is smooth. The message is smooth. Their clothes are smooth. And in reality, it's the same nonsense as they spewed the last week and the week before that. And it's really a matter of supply and demand. How do those preachers last? They're not preaching the Word of God. Because there are a plethora of preachers who will suppress the truth in their sermons because those with itching ears love to have it so. Tell me what I want to hear. If they are offended by Jesus saying, no one comes to the Father but by me, then they will find a pastor who says, there are many roads that lead to God. If they don't like preaching against sin, they will find a church whose motto is, judge not, that you be not judged. If they deny the Bible is the Word of God, and they won't accept what it teaches about things like sexuality and gender, then they'll find a church that meets what they believe. They'll go to St. Philip's or Circleville Presbyterian, who teaches that junk. Supply and demand. But even as believers, at times, if we're not careful, our ears can start to itch a little bit. Do we ever skip a sermon because we know, I don't want to be there because it's going to bring conviction to my heart? Do we ever tune out the preacher when he says something that maybe disagrees with our life? If we're not careful, we can even fall into this category of itching ears where I just really want you to tell me how great I am and everything is just fine. And friend, if you're a believer, everything is just fine. You have a God in heaven who loves you. You have a Savior who died and rose for your sins, and he is with you and active in your life even when you don't see him. In that sense, everything is fine. But we're not fine. We got a lot of growing to do. I have a lot of growing to do. So beware itching ears, because they lead to a terrible consequence. Here's what 2 Timothy 4, verse 4 says. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. When you no longer seek the truth, you'll start to believe anything. And those with itching ears, they're sort of like the Israelites, you know, back in Isaiah's day. And the prophet writes in Isaiah 30, verse number 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Verse 10, which say to the seers, see not. We don't want a vision. We're good. And they say to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. We don't want the truth. Because the truth is convicting and it's hard. So don't even prophesy the right things. Prophesy the wrong things to us. And then they say, speak unto us smooth things. That's the spot. Prophesy deceits. The itching ear wants a sermon to scratch their itch instead of truth to pierce their heart. That's the itching ear. Number three. The third type. Stopped ears. Stopped ears. Now we're going to go one step further. I mean, those with itching ears are still hearing something, even if it is fables. But then there are those who just close their ears altogether. Zechariah the prophet, when speaking to the priest of his time, said this, Zechariah 7:11, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. It's not that they couldn't hear. They decided to plug their ears so they wouldn't hear. Itching ears choose what they hear. Stopped ears choose not to hear at all. It's not that they can't hear. It's that they won't hear. See the difference? It's not that they're incapable of hearing. It's that they won't. In Jeremiah 7, verse number 24, it says this, but they hearkened not, notice this, nor inclined their ears. They would not bow down their ears, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of the evil heart and went backward and not forward. Verse 26 continues, yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ears, but instead, what did they do? They hardened their neck, and they did worse than their fathers. The prophet Jeremiah repeats that phrase 8 times in the book. They would not, they would not, they would not, they would not incline their ears. Jesus said something similar in Matthew 13, verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. They've closed their ears. And should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 16, Jesus says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. If you fast forward a little bit, there's a man by the name of Stephen found in the book of Acts. Stephen was one of the first deacons appointed in the church at Jerusalem. He got up to preach his first sermon. It's just his first one. Cut the guy some slack, right? And he gets up in front of his people, the people of Israel, and he is preaching a strong message. He says to them, you crucified our Savior, the true Messiah. He says to the Israelites, you put him to death. Ouch. You want to talk about direct? Here's what he says in Matthew 7, verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. It's not that you can't, it's that they won't. As your fathers did, so do ye. They don't hear it because they don't want to hear it. And when Stephen got to the end of his message, here's what it says in Acts 7, verse 54, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. You did not misread that, okay? That's what the Bible says. They attacked him and gnashed on him with their teeth. You say, well, that's got to mean something different in the Greek. I've studied it out. And it looks like to me they are biting him. Absolute frenzy. They're attacking him. And then, Verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. As he's being attacked, he looks up, and who does he see? His Savior, Jesus Christ, standing on the right hand of the throne of God. And then he says in verse 56, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. You know what he was communicating to them? Everything he said was true. Jesus ascended into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God, making his enemies his footstool. He has all authority and all power. And now he stands at the death of Stephen. And Stephen says, look, I see him right there. What do they do? Verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and they stoned Stephen to death. They didn't want to hear it. I don't know if you saw this or not, but earlier this month, President Joe Biden commuted the death penalty for 37 federal inmates just a few weeks ago. Anybody see that story? 37. Now, you can study that out, and you can look into it all you want. Most of them were violent murderers, but anyways. What caught my attention was an article that said two of the inmates refused to have their sentence commuted to life. So he was going to take them off death row and give them life instead. And two of them said no. Now, at first, I thought, wow, that seems interesting. And I read about it a little bit, and my first thought was maybe they were just saying, no, we would rather die than spend life in prison. But that really wasn't the case. You see, those on death row, the inmates who are receiving the death penalty, their trials and their cases receive the highest scrutiny, the most attention. So our government has decided if we're going to put somebody to death, then we better really dig into this case to make sure they did it before we kill them. Put them to death, I should say. So these men believe that by having their sentences commuted, it would put them at a legal disadvantage, because once they were lifers, then there wouldn't be as much pressure to see whether or not they were innocent, and they both maintain their innocence. Here's the problem. A 1927 U.S. Supreme Court ruling maintains that the president has the power to grant reprieves and pardons, and, quote, the convict's consent is not required. In other words, the president has the power to pardon whether or not you want the pardon. Now, unfortunately, salvation doesn't work like that. There are those, maybe even here or who will be in this building today, maybe in the early service, who you have heard the gospel for years. You know who Jesus is. You know what he has done for you. You know the sacrifice that he has made and what you must do to have eternal life, yet you refuse his offer of forgiveness. You stop your ears. Say, isn't it the Lord who opens our ears? Absolutely, he does. Absolutely. But we also see in Scripture that some decided to close their ears. Don't stop your ears this morning. There is a God in heaven who sent his Son to die for your sins. And his offer, his pardon, will not last forever. Lastly, number four. What type of ears should we have? Hearing ears. Hearing ears. It's obvious, right? I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Do you have hearing ears today? How can we prepare our ears for church to make sure that they are receptive and not just open. I'm going to give you a few things just practically here, and then I'm going to close out, okay? First, prepare physically. You need to prepare physically. Get plenty of rest. Get your clothes ready the night before. Saturday is not the night to let the kids stay up late, okay? We don't allow them to stay up late oftentimes on a school night because we know if they go to school the next morning and they're tired, their mind isn't going to be sharp and they won't be able to learn as they should learn. Should we not apply the same truth to God's house and God's word? Saturday's not the night to let them stay up. Know where your Bible is. Do you have a Bible? Do you bring your Bible? What about a notebook? I mean, there may be one of these times where you come here and I actually say something worth writing down. I know it's going to be few and far between, but even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Do you have a pen so that you don't have to steal the one off the Welcome Center, right? I don't know who you are, but the Lord knows who you are, okay? We need people to sign up for Chili. Read your Bible ahead of time. I mean, not this week. I pulled a curveball on you. But you know where we're going to be. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 next week. Read ahead. Pray. Ask the Lord to give you listening ears. Ask him to speak to you through his word. And then pray for the preacher. How you prepare for Sunday gatherings will directly be related to how much we benefit from our time together. So don't come as a spectator. Don't just come to watch. Participate. And this is so crucial, this last part. Then go and live it out. You got to go and live it out. Because you're not hearing it if we're not applying it. When Ezra, back in his day, preached in Nehemiah 8, the attitude with which the listeners came to hear him was crucial. So many times a prophet would get up, they would declare perhaps a similar message like that of Ezra, and it would not be received. Not because of the message, not because of the sower, but because of the soil. Here's what Ezra says in Nehemiah 8, verse 3. And he read therein, before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and then notice the attitude of the people, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They inclined their ears. Now, you may have missed something in that verse because I read through it pretty quickly. It says they read from morning until midday. Do you understand that is 6 hours? 6 hours. A 40-minute message doesn't sound so bad anymore, right? 6 hours. The law, the word of God was read, and they were attentive. But how do we really know that they heard his word? Nehemiah 8, verse 14. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. Let me pause there for a second. As Ezra is reading, he comes to a portion of Scripture that talks about a feast that the Israelites were to observe on the seventh month of the calendar year every single year. It was established. It was called the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. You say, well, what were they celebrating? When God brought Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, they had no permanent homes. No, instead, they dwelt in tabernacles, tents. They dwelt in booths. And so the seventh month of every year, get your camping stuff, grab your tent, go outside, sleep outside. Some of you are like, I like this feast, right? Go outside, sleep in your tent, dwell in your tent, and celebrate God's provision for Israel and what he did in the wilderness. That was commanded. Now, as they're hearing this, it's like a light bulb comes on and they're like, wait a second. It's the seventh month. Now is the Feast of Tabernacles. So here's what they do in verse number 17. And all the congregation, excuse me, verse 16, let me back up. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths. They made tents, tabernacles. Every one of them upon his house, the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the streets of the water gate, and in the street of the gate Ephraim, verse 17. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. Let me pause there. They heard the word of God. They received it, and then they went and obeyed it. They make tents. They go outside, and they get in their booth. And then notice what happens. It says, for since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so for hundreds of years, they did not hear the word of God. I mean, it went in their ears, but they weren't listening because they weren't obeying. And notice what happens as a result. And there was very great gladness. Who would have thought? Don't miss this. Listen carefully, apply properly, and then experience the joy of truly hearing the word of God. What kind of ears do you have? Open? Itching? Stopped? Or hearing? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Would you stand with me this morning? As you stand, if you would bow with me for a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Here in just a few minutes, the music will begin to play. And I'm going to encourage you, if the Lord has laid it on your heart, that you would respond. Who here would say, Pastor Nathan, there has been a time in my life where I understood the gospel? God opened the eyes of my heart. I put my faith in him, and he saved me, not for anything I've done, but because of his grace. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand as a testimony of that? Amen. You may put those down. Is there one here today, or maybe others, that would say, Pastor Nathan, pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know for sure. If I died today, I would go to heaven. Is there anyone like that that I might pray for you? Pray for me, Pastor Nathan. I'm not sure. Okay. Don't stop your ears. You need to be saved. I invite you to come today. Christian, it's easy to become a lazy listener. As I said, maybe at one point in time, we thought a lot more about our preparation. But over time, our ears have grown dull. The Lord's spoken to you through his word, and you felt led to move in some way or respond in some way. I encourage you, do that today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for those who are here. They made it. And I am so grateful that they are here, Lord. Whether they had a long Saturday night or a rushed morning, we're just glad they're here. Thank you, God, for being patient with us and gracious to us. And I pray that if there's someone here once again who's not saved, that they would come. But Lord, give us listening ears. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.